mind during the day? If not now, when? Manana, tomorrow, whenever I get around to it. But we as God's children, they're being called by God, we can't afford to have this attitude. We need to be about God's business now. And the topic I want to talk about is something I'm sure we've all dealt with in our life. Possibly. If you've never dealt with this item that I'm going to be bringing up, definitely like to talk to you afterwards to see how you did it. But who of us can relate to needing to get rid of various clutter in our life? Stuff. Whether it's physical, whether it's mental, or spiritual. Because on the spiritual plane, we can see throughout our daily life the sinful clutter that we need to have removed from our hearts and minds as well. And we can't do this by ourselves. We have to rely and trust on God. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews 8, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Because our heart and mind is the center of areas that we need to really focus on and continue in God's Word to really anchor it within our life. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, we read, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So we know this is coming. In those days, at Christ's return, His words, His laws, will be placed within us, all of us, all of mankind, to work, to understand, to learn over a period of time. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, it's basically the same information, but the heart and mind application is different. Here we read in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 16, "This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord." So we're talking about those days, after those days. "I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." So we see how important our minds and our hearts are to retain, to really focus on God's way each day of our life. Yeah, I was born and raised here in Florida. I grew up with a family of six kids, a mother and father. We owned very little as we were growing up. And if you looked at our old family pictures, you would see a kid with no shoes, no shirt, had shorts on, just running around all over the place. About the only time I ever had shoes back then was wintertime, or when I started to go into school, or if we went to visit family. I had to wear shoes. Of course, when I got there, they didn't stay on very long, but I had to wear them. At least a little bit. But I do remember that we never went hungry. We always had a roof over our head. And the house that we were renting at that time was only $15 a month. And the biggest thing for this little boy was I would run the check down to the office to pay the rent. Oh, that was just a big thing for me to do that for the family. But we had the cows, we had the chickens, we had the hogs, we had the gardens. And I had all the open spaces that I needed as a little kid just to romp around, to go fishing or whatever. But we didn't have very much as far as stuff. Okay, whatever I needed was outside. I just found something and created in my head that it was whatever. But then as life continued and Charlotte and I were married, it took a little time to start collecting much needed things. But even as I look back over those years, you know, the term, if not now, when? I didn't really practice on, well, I would like that, and I really need to wait till I have the money to buy that. But back then, I was still learning and growing, so credit. You know, go get it. Have it now. Pay for it later. Which, you know, took its toll in certain areas, but you know, eventually we sort of became pack rats, files and different things. But fortunately for Charlotte and I, we lived in the same house since 1977, so I didn't have to keep packing and moving all this junk and stuff. So that was a plus of staying in the same house. But of course, over the years, we have cleaned up our act. We've got rid of a lot of things. But most people, just as we were, realize that clutter is because just an accumulation of too much stuff. You know, we ask ourselves, why do we have so many things? I mean, we were talking earlier before services of how time is just fleeting by. Well, during that time, we're collecting, we're storing, we're collecting more. But it's usually because we do not accurately grasp how much we own. Plus, we have things placed in various parts of our houses. You know, closets, attics, storage units, boxes, bags, suitcases, wherever space is available, that's where we tend to shove things, otherwise known as nooks and crannies. And there are even times where you just find yourself hanging something on a chair or wherever. You're comfortable, pretty much. I know I have been in the past. But we tend to forget that there are certain categories of what we own, meaning our clothes, kitchen utensils, your sewing material and your sewing machine and whatever, tools. Because there are some people that can't go from room to room in their house without running an obstacle course. I'm sure you've probably seen over the years different shows where they have people going in to help someone clean up their home, and it's just, you walk in the front door, it's just, woohoo. You know, it's amazing. But of course, Satan, he loves these type of conditions, and he uses this at his disposal to help ruin the lives of people from all these distractions that are around us. And clutter being just one of those devices that Satan uses. If you would, turn to the book of James, chapter 3. In James, chapter 3, starting in verse 14, I'm going to read verses 14 through 16. It says, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." And that's what Satan loves to see. And it's interesting how that's considered wisdom, Satan's wisdom, which is something we don't want any part of. You know, Webster's definition of the word clutter is to fill or litter with things in a disorderly manner. A disorderly heap or assemblage is a confused state. It breeds confusion. And we know that a poorly kept household makes people tense and stressed out, confused, and distracted. And all these words, such as indecision, disorderly, confusion, stress, distractions. They all resemble fruits of an evil spirit, things that Satan wants to apply against us. And Satan, the devil, is proud of, and he transmits these areas in our life continually of where he can cut into our life. It's almost like a satanic shroud. But we don't want any part of that. I mean, who wants to open your closet in the morning and pull out the shroud of distraction? Or go have breakfast and have a bowl of confusion? No, we don't. Okay? But that's what Satan wants to feed us, is all of this negativity. And none of those words describe fruits of a godly spirit. If you would, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 33. I'm a little remiss. I forgot to welcome all the visitors that we have today. So it's good to see you here. It's good to have you here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." God should be our favorite author. Here's his book. Here's his words. Here's his truth. This should be the number one seller for us in our life each day. So if not now, when do we start, if we haven't already, to remove these items of clutter, stuff from our home and our lives? And I'm talking physical, I'm talking mental, and I'm especially talking about spiritual. Well, we should be focusing on why first. Just like you hear when you're at the Feast of Tabernacles, you'll hear someone say, "Why are we here?" We could apply that to us today. Why are you here on God's Sabbath day? God's commandment for us to be here. I'll make reference to Matthew 6, verse 33. We're to seek the kingdom of God. We're to seek that first in our life, every day. I'll go ahead and turn to it. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And by doing that, we know that we will stay on that path that he wants us to be on. So why should we be focusing on why first? We can't hit a non-target. Most people can't decide what to keep in their life because they haven't really focused on why they should keep it or not keep it. You know, it's easy to wander. It's easy to get lost in this life on a journey with no destination. You're here today because you know the destination that you want in your life. That is God's kingdom, to be a very part of God's family. We must think first about what we want and where we're going and what we want to accomplish. While we're on that journey, during that journey, and after that journey, we need to have a goal to remove all these devilish words out of our being. Remove the indecisions, the disorder, the confusion, the stress, the distractions. We need to remove that. And it's a daily chore in our life. But we are capable of doing it with God's help and God's word. There's an example in the Old Testament of a king who actually went about cleaning the nation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, if you would join me there. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And this king started at a very early age. And I'm speaking of Josiah. 2 Chronicles 34, beginning in verse 1. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. So 8 years old. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, so being 16, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, being 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. So he began to get rid of these idols, of the paganism in the nation. He was cleaning out the clutter. He was cleaning out the junk. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Paul speaking here says, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Verse 17. And if man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Meaning, we have God's Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God with his Holy Spirit. We should keep this temple cleansed. So each day, to go to God, seeking forgiveness of our sins, seeking his truth, understanding his laws, his precepts, his statutes, all that he has established, and all that is before us that we're still seeking. So that's why we should be focusing on why we should be doing this. And once we've determined why, and we're pursuing that, secondly, we need to just do it. There's action to these decisions. You know, there's nothing wrong with having things around us. The problem is leaving it all when we're done with it, just laying around or tossed wherever and not put away. You know, we're constantly keeping and we're carrying stuff over and until later. We're always messing with the same stuff constantly. Either daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. We got to stop that. Because you eventually say, well, when I get time, I'll get to it. Again, time waits on no person. And just imagine how much time we're losing in our life from the mental and the emotional irritations and depression. Because possibly we're just so used to seeing it where it is that we don't understand deep down within us that it is an irritation, that it is a depression, that it is something that we need to clean and fix in our life. To know that once it's done, how much time can be saved after it's done, so our time is better spent than worrying about something other than what we should be dealing with, mainly focusing on God and His Word and living life. But again, people say, well, I really want to do it, but when? Yeah, I mean, again, there's that depression. There's that lack of energy by just being around this stuff all the time. We should never ask that question to ourselves. You know, when? We have to stop that. Especially with us and God's family, that we're being called. Judgment is on the house of God now. We cannot allow time to be wasted. We have to focus. We have to move closer to God each day. You know, it's not a matter of having time. We all have the same amount of time. You know? Unless Mr. Russ has 25 hours in a day that I'm not aware of, we all have 24. You have 25? Okay, just wanted to double check. So, but everyone has the same amount of time each day. So we need to take solid steps toward getting things in shape in our life. Spiritually, mentally, physically. Because what we know in God's Word that's coming ahead of us, eventually, it's going to be here because it's written in God's Word. It's going to happen. It's prophesied to happen. Are we ready, or are we still going to be distracted when things really go south in this world? You know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we'll go back there to King Josiah. King Josiah decided he was going to do it. So in 2 Chronicles 34, in verse 4, talking about how he began to tear the altars of Balaam down, the images, the idols, he cut them down, the groves. He broke them in pieces, he made dust of them, he burned them, He just took care of business. And that goes through verse 8, which I'm just paraphrasing here. In verse 8 it says, now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land. Okay, so it took a while. And it takes time for us. I mean, I look back on my life, and it's been 41 years since my baptism. 41 years. And I just stand and shake my head going, where did the time go? Because I look at myself. And there are things in my life that, you know, from a spiritual aspect, I really still need to work on. It's like, wow, 41 years and I'm still, you know, it's going to continue. Even up to the point of Christ's return. And that's something we still have to work on. Just as King Josiah, he worked on it. He did it. It took him 6 years. But he cleaned up a lot of stuff in his reign. If you would, turn to Genesis 35. Because with the background of Josiah and what he did of tearing things down, crushing, breaking, demolishing. In Genesis 35, we're talking about Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. But in chapter 35, we see in verse 1, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. In verse 2, now this is with the background of what I was just talking about with King Josiah and all that he did. In verse 2, it says, "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went." But notice in verse 4, "And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods, all the idols that were in their hand." I just found that interesting because of the blessings from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But then seeing his family of having all of these idols, all these strange gods in their possession. And it says, "The strange gods which were in their hands, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem." Well, he buried them. He hid them. He didn't destroy. He didn't demolish. He didn't break. He just collected it and he buried it. So it makes me think, okay, did at some point in the future someone run back to that tree and dig all that stuff up and take it back to their... Who knows? It doesn't say. But he wanted his family to clean up their belongings because they were going to worship before God. But it's just interesting how he just collected and buried it, got rid of it, instead of totally demolishing it. Just a side thought there. But that's something that we, in our life, we should be tearing apart when we recognize through God's word, through God's help, through God's answering our prayers. When we ask God to show us where we're still lacking, these are the things that we really need to focus to remove from our hearts, from our minds, from our very being. We need to do it. Just do it. But third, we need to be determined. We need to have that endurance, and we need to redeem the time back that we still have, because we don't know how much time we really have left. We really don't. For the time we do have, let's make the best of it. And determination deals with a mindset prior to a task. We really need to have that mind focused and our heart focused. It's a mindset determination, while endurance involves the carrying out of a task. So when we need to be putting the time in that's required, we need to be very decisive and very determined on doing the best job we can. By staying vigilant and current with our daily things, whether it's clutter that we need to have removed, but mainly our daily prayers to our Father, should be a very important, if not the top priority in our life. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, starting in verse 16. You know, I've talked about redeeming the time. Ephesians 5, 16. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And if you just look at the news, you can see that all around us. Each day, every day, the days are evil. Verse 17, "Wherefore, be you not unwise." You know, very good instructions here. God does not want us to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Because by doing that, by redeeming our time, we'll feel better when it's done. And when we may have that maintained lifestyle that God wants us to have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, may sound like a lot of work, but it's not. It's just the heart and mind needs to be focused. We need to have that determination. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 15. Again, Paul speaking here, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, says he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We're to flee fornication, verse 18. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Verse 19, what? Know you not that your body, again, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? We belong to God. Verse 20, for you are bought with a price. And that was a very, very big price of Christ coming and giving his life for us, for mankind. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And we need to retain that in our mind, in our heart, that we belong to God. So we need to be successful for God. You know, before starting any of this decluttering or fixing things or getting rid of things, you know, we need to resign ourselves that it's just not a matter of looking at what we have to improve upon or to get rid of. We need to make a decision that we need to discard, totally discard, items that we deem no longer needed or wanted, especially sin in our life. When we go to God, we want that sin removed as far as the east is from the west to seek God's forgiveness. And physically, we don't need to leave items laying around of things that we can truly discard. We don't need any longer. We don't need them laying around to be distracted by them anymore or to think, yeah, I don't need it, but well, maybe one day. Well, discard it. Get rid of it. You know, in our daily life, when we recognize that we have sinned, we are to discard it immediately, going to God for repentance. We don't need to keep them laying around, accumulating, to get to them later. We should not allow sin to reside until later. It needs to be immediately discarded. In Colossians chapter 3, and again, we have to be determined to do this. God wants us to be sinless. We should want that as well. In Colossians 3, in verse 8 and 9, it says, but now you also put off all these. So again, these are items that we need to discard if they're lingering anywhere or they should happen to try to come into our life. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So again, these type of items we need to make sure that these are discarded at the very front when you recognize them. You know, God's example to us of the spiritual clothing that he wants us to be wearing, that we're to be draped with, is to be all joined together. You know, God doesn't want us to apply this one verse over here and ignore all these verses over here. He wants us to apply all of his words in our life. Just like the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, we see where the armor of God is a complete set for our life. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." It says, put on the whole armor of God. It doesn't say just put on one item that you of your choosing. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Because he has chosen the whole armor for us, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, our arch enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So from verses 14 through 18, you can read the remaining part of that. But verse 18, I will emphasize after the whole armor of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Just as we were talking about those that are not here because of sickness, illness, unable to be here due to health issues, age, so forth. We always need to be praying for them and each other in this room. Each and every day, prayer is so much needed. Yeah, we're to be thinking things through in our life. I mean, we look at our age, we look at how we operate during the day, how our life is sort of mapped out, what you do, you know, what hour you go to bed, what hour do you get up, or number of hours during the night that you get up. You know, raise my hand in that area. What time you get up, what do you do when you get up, what do you do during the day, so forth. You tend to see your life consistently, in most cases, following a certain pattern. But we need to really fine-tune our thinking to understand, do I really have things not only in our life that can serve others, especially when you're talking about getting rid of things, physical things? There may be people, you know, free tables or whatever, you know, people that are in need of certain things that you may no longer need that can serve others. Our prayers definitely will serve others. By us wearing the whole armor of God, that helps to serve others as well as ourselves. But we have to be very careful, because even during this discard decision, what you need to discard, never ever discard personal information, because there are plenty of people out there that want to take advantage. If they get your ID, you need to destroy it, shred it, cut it up, safely burn it. I mean, that's just an advertisement right now. Think it through. Be careful of what you're discarding, especially if it's papers with your social security, your addresses, any information. do not just randomly toss that in the trash. You need to destroy that. But there are a few other items for consideration. And Mr. Yates, when he was here, he sort of touched on some of this. And I'm going to just bring up two areas here. Talking about mental clutter. One is gossip. A person's mouth can resemble a cluttered room, full of things that aren't needed and that don't do anyone any good. Okay? We understand that. Again, we have to focus on ourselves to make sure we don't have gossip clutter in our life. Because it's like a bad virus. It's unseen, but it spreads easily and steadily when it's out there. Once it's out there, you can't bring it back. In the book of James, chapter 3, James chapter 3, begin in verse 5 and go through verse 8. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. So just remember the armor of God that we're wearing. If we're prone to gossip, we're burning ourselves from within. That armor of God is not doing anything because Satan has gotten to you within. We don't want gossip. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. But we're to keep it under control. We need to recognize it and be determined that this does not infiltrate our being. The other one is complaints or criticism. It does moral and spiritual damage. And the sooner it is tossed out with the rest of the junk, the sooner a person gains motivation and accomplishments. So these two areas, gossip and complaining. If you would go to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 through 11. It says, for he that will love life and see good days. So we all want to love life. We all want to see good days. So let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Verse 11, let him shew evil and do good. So don't do evil in our life. Do not work on it, but we need to be doing good at all times. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For we want to love life. We want to see good days. We want to seek peace and pursue it. So if not now, when? Only you can answer that. I mean, it seems to be a reasonable question in my mind, especially for me. We have to decide when to start, because it won't get done by itself. I mean, I would love for Mr. Russ to take care of my problems, but you think it's going to happen? No, that has to be my decision to do that. And we need to know that it will improve our life. You know, keep our lives decluttered. And I'm speaking from the physical, the mental, and the spiritual aspects of life. Because we need to focus on the why. You know, why? Then we just need to be determined to do it and continue to have that determination and endurance in God's orderly way meant for our life. God has a purpose for our life. And we should be consistent, we should be persevering, and we should be redeeming back the time while we can. You know, there is coming a time, we have the fall holy days approaching. There's coming a time in the future where we will be helping, God willing, we will be there to help after Christ's return and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. Because after the great tribulation, there's going to be a godly cleansing as well as a physical and mental cleansing to occur. I mean, you read in Revelations of the trumpets and the vials, the great earthquake. I mean, it's not gonna be a pretty picture there. But we will be there as part of God's family to assist. I'll make reference to Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4, where it talks about rebuilding the waste places. In Amos 9, verse 14, where God talks about bringing back the captives, His people, Israel, bringing them back. So we need to be praying for that day of Christ's return to come quickly. And God's will be done in our life each and every day. As I said, the feast days, the fall feast days are coming. A thorough cleansing is needed by us now. Judgment is upon the house of God now. That is us. And we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And we will be needed. And we will be there. During and after the millennium for mankind's physical and spiritual cleansing. We will be there as sons and daughters of God, helping, serving, teaching mankind God's way. So let's continue enjoying the rest of the Sabbath, and let's start now to strengthen and live our lives daily as God wants us to, because we continue to be in training for that time ahead in God's kingdom.